You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for June 19th, 2015. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from just outside Donald Trump's $3 website generator. It's The Professional Left with Drift Glass and Blue Gal.
Hey, Drift Glass.
Hey, Blue Gal.
We're trying to keep our sense of humor this morning. We are recording this Thursday morning, and the perpetrator of the shooting in Charleston has been captured within
arrested.
An hour. That's the latest that we've got.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just kind of reeling from this. And the usual suspects are reacting the way that we would expect them to.
Yep.
Yep. Fox News and Rudy Giuliani and all these other assholes.
Uh-huh. Are doing exactly what you
expect. Exactly what you expect them to do. And
countdown to blaming Eric Holder and Barack Obama starts now.
And the new Black Panther Party. And, you know, those church ladies were no angels, that kind of thing. I mean, it's just.
Yep. It's predictable. At this point, it is. The problem is it's predictable. And just FYI, we are also recording this in the middle of a fairly dark and ominous thunderstorm that goes off and on. So.
If you hear thunder in the background, it is not me losing my shit, although I should.
It's just
it is the weather.
That's Thursday. Today's Thursday, and we're recording this today, Thursday afternoon. And
early afternoon on Thursday, and we're going to say onward.
Well, can I risk derailing our conversation right off the bat? Religion was on both sides of the gun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
By the very tiny amount of information we have to go on, a deeply disturbed racist gunman, a terrorist.
White supremacist.
A white supremacist terrorist.
Terrorist.
Believed his country needed to be cleansed of these people because they were ruining everything and raping our women. That is a legacy handed down directly from segregation, Jim Crow, and white supremacy, which is all based on the Bible.
And the Confederate flag that is still flying over
proudly.
The South Carolina Statehouse. Yeah. Yep.
And on the other side of that gun were people of faith in a house of worship, doing no one any harm and probably doing a lot of people a lot of good. So I've yet to hear anyone talk about this tragedy in that context, and we probably won't. But I just want to remind people that there are really good people in the world busy doing good things. And you don't hear about them very often until something like this happens. But this is a legacy. This is a legacy. This is a legacy of our original sin. And every day our country has the option of expiating that sin and purging it and getting it out of our system and calling it what it is and calling it out for what it is and saying we're not going to have any more of this. Or we have an option of exploiting it. And pandering to crazy people and telling people, yeah, you know what, those people really are your enemy. Those people really have no values. They're immoral and they're less than you. And they really are screwing your country up. And you really should do something about it. And sometimes doing something about it is just voting for, oh, I don't know, Donald Trump. Or sometimes it's worse than that. But there is an entire industry designed to pander to and exploit and cater to and cultivate hatred and paranoia and racism.
And I think we also must not leave out the racist heritage of the Second Amendment.
No.
And this gun rights thing is a white gun rights thing.
Yep.
Anyone who's coming out today and saying, well, you know, if they'd been armed in that Bible study, this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
What do you think Sean Hannity would say if all of a sudden black churches started arming themselves?
Well, they did in California.
They did.
In the 60s.
Yeah.
They were called the Black
Panther. And Ronald Reagan all of a sudden was very interested in gun control.
Suddenly Ronald Reagan got real interested in making sure those people couldn't carry guns.
Yeah.
So this is about this country's long and very ugly history. And it keeps manifesting itself over, and it will continue to do so. As long as there's a buck to be made exploiting and flattering people who are essentially ignorant and racist, and telling them what they want to hear,
mm-hmm.
which is their country has been ruined by a Kenyan usurper and his Negro friends.
Mm-hmm.
As long as there's a
well, buck. And then there's the enablers of that, as you have mentioned many times,
yeah.
who want to make this a post-racial society. And we just won't talk about it because that, frankly, harms our advertisers.
It does.
Our advertisers want it to be, I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Yeah.
You know, and therefore, our products can be sold to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't confront the racism that this country was founded upon.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I watched, I don't know if I talked to you about this or not. I can't, you and I have so many conversations, I forget whether they're in my head or.
That's true.
Jesse Jackson being interviewed by William F. Buckley.
Oh.
Back in the 60s, a very young Jesse Jackson.
Yeah, well, he'd have to be.
And William F. Buckley's opening question is, you know, we in America, we, meaning William F. Buckley and his friends, we in America treat you, the African-American immigrants to America, far better than countries in Western Europe would treat you.
Wow.
Yeah.
As stated as
seriously.
Fact.
Seriously, this yeah. is his opening salvo.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah. you know, why all of the tension?
Uh-huh.
And Jesse Jackson comes back and says, well, first of all, I'm a citizen of the United States of America.
Right.
Even I was as you born are, here, I live here, and I have constitutional rights
mm-hmm.
because I am a citizen of the United States. And, it's like,
yeah.
and you know, that's like a revelation to William F. Buckley, first of all, doesn't admit that in the interview.
No.
You know, that's not – the Jesse Jackson types aren't citizens of this country.
Well,
according
they're three-fifths of a citizen.
Yeah, see? I mean, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And until we start – acknowledging that there is a power structure in place that wants to deny citizenship.
Yeah. Full citizenship. Full rights.
Full citizenship to people based on skin color. That's really what's going on.
And we can't because, this is a topic we go over and over again, and it frustrates me that we circle back to this, but this is like the gas giant at the center of our politics. This is mm-hmm. the center of gravity of politics in this country. And everything, in my opinion, orbits it, which is we have one of our two major political parties is broken and insane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And any sane country would devote a certain amount of energy in its mainstream press. It's like a plague. If there were a plague running loose in Washington, D.C., of zombies or rabies or whatever, the press would report on it. They'd point cameras at it and say, oh my goodness, look at that. All those people over there are extremely dangerous. We should really do something about them. But since those people make money for the advertisers and control lobbying organizations and have a shitload of money and have constituents and have influence and clout, our press doesn't report on the Republican Party as a problem. And that leaves them with this really difficult narrative to complete because there is no explanation for our problems mm-hmm. unless you begin with the statement, one of these groups of people is a cancer
mm-hmm.
and they are that way on purpose. There's a really well-orchestrated, well-funded machine that keeps people fucking ignorant and hateful and bigoted and paranoid because of money and votes. And this thing goes back half a century. Well, it goes back for 400 years, but this particular one goes back 40, 50 years.
And that really is the argument of today, which is America going to wind up fox or free?
Yeah.
We can't be half fox and half free, as you've said. That
yeah.
That's a copyright drift glass.
Well, copyright Lincoln. Because he
yeah,
said,
well, okay, you stole it from
I
Lincoln.
Did.
I get it.
But it's completely and directly relevant. He said, you know, slavery a house divided itself cannot stand. We're either going to become half slave, you know, we're half slave and half free, and we're either going
to
become one.
I hate to
one
tell you this, Drift Glass. Excuse me, but a house divided against itself cannot stand is from the Bible.
Yeah, of course. It's all Lincoln ever read. Damn humanist atheist.
Uh-huh.
But half slave or half free can't survive. It's right. Either one thing or the other. We're going to become, violently or peacefully, one thing or the other.
Mm-hmm.
We are half fox and half free.
Yep.
And they're supposed to be. And this is why we come back to this over and over again. There's supposed to be a referee in this fight.
Mm-hmm.
There's supposed to be.
He says this is true and this is not. This is constitutional and this is not.
And our referees have all been kneecapped or bought off or threatened.
The refs
or bribed
have been worked.
So that they're not allowed to say what's true or false, what's right or wrong, and which party is fucking crazy and which isn't. They're only allowed to say both sides, and there's a controversy, and isn't it weird how this happens? And when something is clearly and explicitly the result of. I'm not saying this is, because I know very little about this tragedy, other than what you're reading in the news on Thursday afternoon. Mm-hmm. But when something is clearly and explicitly nuts or wrong or broken or false, because it is a direct lineal descendant of Republican thinking, conservative thinking, that's been going on deliberately for half a century, they won't say that.
Mm-hmm.
They will do anything. They will chew their own fucking arm off rather than say that. And because if they say it, they'll be Phil Donahue'd right off the air.
Yeah.
And so you have this morning on Morning Joe, half an hour of Donald Trump. They just toss him the microphone and said, say whatever you want to say. And it was surreal. And any other given day, you're going to start off the morning with Carly Fiorina at the beginning. At the end, it'll be Mitt Romney. And in the middle, it'll be Mary Catherine Hamm and some guy from Town Hall touting their book about how liberals are silencing conservatives and the PC police won't let us talk.
Yeah, yeah. And but you get a half an hour on Morning Joe and a book published by Random House.
Mm-hmm. About how liberals won't let you say anything.
Well, liberals won't let you talk.
And this is on my liberal television.
Yeah.
And it really, at this point, it's so broken. it's so broken that... And it's just a sad morning and a sad day. So maybe I'm letting that affect me a little bit. But our first formal topic, I suppose you'd say, is Donald Trump. And the notion that Donald Trump himself is really irrelevant.
I think that's the point, is that we don't want to talk about Donald Trump. Because although it is a giant gift to late night comedy. It is. I get that. But why Donald Trump has risen to this level of attention by the media to the point where he is able to announce a presidential run with hired at, you know, I'm worth $9 billion. Here's $50 a piece to stand in front of me and cheer.
Actors from the Extra Mile Extra Company to stand around him and cheer.
Yep. Yep. He paid them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe he can mail $10 to everyone in Iowa with his $9 billion.
I'm sure. Or a nice gift certificate to a beautiful hotel.
To a beautiful hotel. A classy hotel.
But half an hour this morning. Half an hour free television.
On Morning Joe. Morning Joe getting mad at anybody who questioned the veracity of this campaign in any way.
And talking about how wonderful his kids are. And it was,
not how wonderful his nannies are.
No.
Because that's clearly what's going on there.
And Mark Halperin and Mike Barnicle looking like a couple of giggly guys at a peep show. I mean, it really was all that was lacking for them was, you know, the trench coats and the bad lighting. Because it was just this incredibly creepy, fascist
display.
Was Donald
actually there?
Yeah. Yeah. No, he was
on. On set?
On set. They just sort of turned the microphone over to him and they...
I'm wondering if any other millionaire, billionaire from outside of New York City ran for president this way, in this kind of irrelevant way, what would do that, would get half the fawning that
Donald
gets. The part of what Donald's appeal is he's a New York Post candidate. You know,
he's rooted in the city.
He's rooted in the city, and so
and he's been on
all the
show
people in Rome. I mean, we talk about New York City being Rome all the time, but that's the center of the universe.
And he's rooted there, and he does work on behalf of Republican candidates. Mm-hmm. He does robocalls on behalf of Scott Walker, and I believe that's correct. And he did
Supported Hillary Clinton, too. I mean, as New York senator, he met with her and had pictures taken with her, and he's, you know, ambassador to a certain segment of New York City that the Howard Stern just loves Donald Trump.
Sure.
You know, because New York City, that's...
But it's not, again, it's Trumpism that's of interest to me. Yeah. Because
and someone at Crickson Larson, I know also Charlie Pierce had something about how Trumpism is the result of 50 years of hippie punching.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, the death of the civil rights movement, the fight against the civil rights movement, the fight against the war on poverty, the fight against any kind of limitation on corporations, all of that culminates in the loudmouth business asshole. Mm-hmm. That is Donald Trump.
And that's where they've backed themselves into this corner.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have created, you know, this is 40 years and billions of dollars to breed a reliable army of angry, paranoid, racist chumps.
Mm-hmm.
Which
and now they're upset that Donald Trump is considered a candidate.
Well,
I mean, Bill O'Reilly thinks it's a joke.
Well, Bill O'Reilly is a joke. But he's not a joke because... The whole mechanism, the whole design of the Southern strategy and the Reagan additions and every other floor they built on top of the Southern strategy has been to get this perfect army, this perfect horde of manipulable racist morons who will ignore all facts. It reminded me, actually, when I was writing a post this morning about it, of RoboCop. You know, the digestive system had to be rebuilt so that all he ate was baby food.
Yep.
You know, they have had their ideological digestive system re-engineered so that all they can take, all they can intake is Benghazi goo.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they can digest. There's and anything else, they puke back up. They cannot take anything into their system that isn't Fox approved, that didn't come out of Roger Ailes' lower intestine. And that means Benghazi and emails and Barack Obama sold us out and he's a secret Muslim and he lost Iraq and ISIS. But it means all of the things you hear in Crazy Uncle Liberty's emails. And what is Donald Trump's candidacy but a series of loud bumper stickers taken directly from Crazy Uncle Liberty's emails? That's all it is. It's a string of loud, buffoonish declarations of incredibly stupid, profoundly ignorant shit that conservatives will sop up with a biscuit. It's pure. It's the pure thing. It's the pure quill. It's not cut with anything.
What is it, Driftglass? I'm sorry to interrupt
you. No.
What is it about emails that somehow becomes automatic guilt on the part of the right? I saw an article, I think it was on Breitbart, it was on one of the right-wing blog websites, mm-hmm. about new Lois Lerner emails discovered.
Right.
And then you read the article, quote unquote, underneath it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing about what's in the emails. Was there anything, any wrongdoing, any evidence of any wrongdoing, anything at all? I mean, if you looked at my emails, quote unquote.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's a lot of yarn ads.
Yeah.
And news tips from podcast listeners, thank you very much for sending us stuff. We appreciate it. Letters from listeners and emails from you about things. And, you know, it's what everybody's email looks like. Yeah. You know, it's not at all indicative of guilt. But Breitbart can put up Hillary Clinton email.
Well, it's the insider.
And that's it.
Because to make this... The whole idea is, and it becomes less and less important at each iteration, mm-hmm. that you have a secret inside information about the giant liberal Negro conspiracy.
I see.
That you know what's really going on.
Uh-huh.
Just like every drunk right-wing white male asshole at every lunch counter or every bar in America thinks he has a real clear idea what's really going on
mm-hmm.
behind this whole thing. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
They stood down those troops in Benghazi. Let me tell you, mm-hmm. Vince Foster mm-hmm. fucking murdered. I read a book about it. And they believe it. And they totally believe it.
Yeah.
So email is just a magic conjuring word that says, this article has the secret details behind the conspiracy, wink, wink, we all know is going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And crazy Uncle Liberty will swallow it whole.
Yeah.
And so the problem he has, the problem the base voter has, are with people who mix their pure smack
mm-hmm.
with policy bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear
mm-hmm.
about compassion conservative. I don't want to hear about education reform. I want to hear how Common Core is making kids gay.
Yeah.
I want to hear about how the Negro in the White House is coming to take my guns away.
Worst, when is the FBI going to investigate Barack Obama?
Yes.
I've read that question this week.
That's
this
what week. They want to hear.
Yep.
And the reason they want to hear that is they have been trained like Pavlov's fucking dog
mm-hmm.
to accept that series of syllables means the true thing is coming. And Donald Trump gives it to him in big, large bore cardiac needles full of their favorite drug. And Jeb Bush kind of, hey, he speaks Mexican and he doesn't talk about how Barack Obama or even Vince Foster was murdered. He won't even mention that. And he won't talk about how Mexicans are rapists. And what's wrong with him? Doesn't he want my vote? That's why Donald Trump is a very plausible candidate, because they have built an entire system that inherently that looks like Donald Trump. It looks like inside of his skull. So when he rolls up his snake oil wagon to this mob of chumps and morons that the Republican Party has gathered, what you see is a fight over who gets to skin the idiot. You know, who gets to pluck the pigeon? Because everyone knows they're chumps. That's just a given. Even Chuck Todd, during his Oh My God, Chuck Todd interview, remember his frustration was people are pandering to morons. People are pandering. This is who we're talking about. The Republican base are the idiots. And the entire system depends on simultaneously sucking up to them while filtering out the people you don't want to get near to the trough. And Donald Trump just rolled up his Cadillac, kicked the door open, said, no, no, these people are mine. You bred them for me, and I'm here to take them.
Yeah.
And what are they going to say? These are our chumps? Go get your own? Well, that kind of screws up the whole con, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You don't want that.
No, no.
So that's why Donald Trump is irrelevant as a human being and loathsome as a human being, but a really good cultural indicator of how sick the system has become. Because you can't say the problem with the Republican Party is it's full of freaks and bigots. Therefore, Donald Trump is free to walk right in, claim his share, and what are you going to say? Because we're all complicit here. Everyone involved in the Republican Party, everyone involved in covering up what the Republican Party really is complicit, pays their mortgage. Everybody from David Brooks and Coulter pays their mortgage by continuing this charade.
Yep.
And so nobody wants to blow it. Nobody wants to screw this up. This is the single most profitable resource we have in this country now. Dumbasses who turn their money and votes over in exchange for pandering to their delusions. Anyway,
we have a letter that I'd like to read.
Oh.
Yeah, I'd like to read this letter from David in Kansas. And he writes, Blue Gal and Drift Class, I have listened for months and months about Thomas Friedman, David Brooks, and Chuck Todd. At first I found this entertaining, if not depressing.
Uh-huh.
But now it is ever more tedious and repetitive. I think everyone gets your point that these guys are creeps. But I was influenced a lot because I reminded my liberal and conservative, the few, friends that both sides' argument is bogus. But maybe for a new theme, why not devote a few minutes of your show to Kansas or Texas or Illinois
yeah.
or Wisconsin
yeah.
or North Carolina or okay.
Uh-huh.
You get the point.
Yep.
I know that it might not seem immediately relevant. Oh, no, it seems very relevant.
Mm-hmm.
The current situation in Kansas is a future shot of what will happen if the right, led by the Koch mentality, takes over.
Mm-hmm.
You have heard of Governor Brownback, but there are other depressing characters up and down the line. Kris Kobach is Secretary of State, a champion of restricting the right to vote to minorities.
Yep.
He was disappointed with the state's lack of convictions for voter fraud, so Brownback delegated him the prosecuting authority. There is little to no voter fraud, so it will be interesting to see what he comes up with. The Kansas Senate is 32 Republicans and 8 Democrats.
Uh-huh.
The House is 98 Republicans and 27 Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can stop Brownback's ideas from becoming law. We have a legislature full of Steve Kings and Michelle Bachmans. Senator Joan Weigel of Wichita has opposed sex education, is unfriendly to anyone teaching only evolution. and is a blind follower of Brownback's economic reformulation, where taxes on farmers, business, and the rich are eliminated. Soon it will be possible to carry guns on university campuses, but not in the state legislature.
No.
So I guess they are not completely crazy. The no tax on the rich and business is to stimulate the economy and to attract new businesses into the state. Both of these have been an utter failure.
Mm-hmm.
Because of budget shortfalls and his hatred of unions, one of the things Brownback has been cutting is K-12 education. Who would want to relocate their business in Kansas with its poor schools? Kansas lagged behind the national average for business indicators and is deep in a budgetary hole.
Mm-hmm.
To address the latter, Governor just passed a sales and cigarette tax, which is totally regressive, even worse than the rates in 2013, when the lowest and middle incomes paid 10.3% and 8.9% of their income, and the top paid 3.9%.
Mm-hmm.
The new tax bill just passed makes these differences even worse. In Lawrence, Kansas, our sales taxes will be higher than New York City's. And even with all these budget maneuvers, the state will still be short of revenue. Congratulations, this is the big experiment of Brownback, the Republicans, and the Kochs.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for the long letter, but fuck Thomas Friedman, David Brooks, and Chuck Todd.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Driftglass needs to rant about Kansas and how this is the future if the Republicans ever take over Washington from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Surviving in Kansas, David. And we did a Chickens Come Home to Roost episode a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and Googled GOP legislature's taxes. And oh my God, everywhere,
mm-hmm.
Republican-dominated red state legislatures are having chickens come home to roost when it comes to revenue. Because math,
yeah.
And state governments have to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to do stuff that their Republican constituents want done. In Wisconsin, the headline today was, the local headline today was, legislature deciding which road projects will have to be scrapped.
How about the ones leading to Illinois? That'd be nice. Burn through those first. We already have our share of...
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we still have a Democratic legislature here in Illinois, but we have a governor who is right out of that playbook.
Yeah.
He's a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
And he wants to cut, and damn teachers' unions. And he is willing, this is totally predictable, but to pose Chicago against the rest of the state.
Sure.
And create a war there.
Sure.
Because those people in Chicago, we've talked about that before,
mm-hmm.
those people in Chicago don't deserve state revenue. Yeah. So.
And this is not a mystery. This is reported every day.
Yep.
In the paper, it's the governor's
strength. Oh, one more thing. Alaska. Uh-huh. Alaska is considering an income tax. The whole point of Alaska has been...
Yes, no income tax.
No income tax, and...
Everybody gets a check.
Everybody gets a check, but we have, you know, so much federal money flowing into the state that we don't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're screwed because austerity, has mm-hmm. turned that off. And so they're considering an income tax,
and
probably won't pass. But that they're that hard up,
and they're going to tax the poor and the middle class.
Yeah,
they're going to shift the tax. The whole idea is to shift the tax burden is to break government,
mm-hmm.
break it, screw it up, throw as much sand in the works as you possibly can, until people start voting to get rid of government.
Mm-hmm.
They start falling for this bullshit. They start listening to Donald Trump as if he's a savior. And they start listening to people who tell them, you know, Ayn Rand is the way. And then they get them. And those people get into office and they destroy everything they touch.
Yep.
Governor Hedge Fund in Illinois is going to destroy everything he touches if he's left. And he's going to do it exactly, chapter and verse. He's going to be Illinois Sam Brownback.
Yep.
He's going to be Illinois Scott Walker, because they're all the same guy. They're all the same playbook. They all hire the same kind of people. They all listen to the same Koch front group.
Alec Koch brothers.
Exactly.
Yep.
And the Illinois Policy Institute, which is a straight up front group for radical destruction of government, They all hire the same people, and they all get the same results.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of, and you know what? Kansas just reelected Sam Brownback.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was a certain level beyond which you're just too stupid to live. You want to die? You want to cut your state? If you are that determined to destroy your state, then you're going to do it. There's nothing we can do about it. We can point to it and say, isn't that a terrible shame over there? And we really wish you'd stop doing that. But at some point, it is the fault of the voter.
Yeah, yeah.
And if people, and because at the end of the day, what the people like Sam Brownback and people like our governor will do, I predict, and they will go back to the voters and say, we didn't go far enough.
Yeah, yeah, we weren't conservative enough.
You know what?
Enough.
Unions wrecked our plans. Those darn trade unions, whatever the last vestiges of the middle class still exist, that's the problem.
Well, and they'll put some meaningless abortion bill on the ballot, and that's it. And then you're done, you know?
And that's...
The Killing Babies Amendment is on the ballot this month, so...
And if liberals got smart... You know, I don't think that we're ever going to be that smart. Let's start slapping a few of those amendments on in the states where we're still in charge or nominally in charge.
Yeah. Put a minimum wage amendment on in every state, 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
Increase the minimum wage and see what happens. Because that has real impact for real people.
It does. And this is the secret behind Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Because if you take apart, very much like the Howard Dean campaign, mm-hmm. very much like Obamacare. If you strip it of the bullshit that you read in the headlines and take it apart, and if you take TAA apart, TAA, mm-hmm. TPA,
TPP,
TPP, yeah. if you deconstruct that, you find that that people who actually know what they're talking about really are smart enough to know that they're being screwed.
Yep.
I learned this week that I'm an Obama bot again, a loyalist who won't take a position on TAA, TPP, TPA, MOUSE.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's dead.
Maybe.
It should stay. Well,
maybe.
I'm glad it's mostly dead.
Yeah.
I wish it should stay dead. I'm embarrassed that my president keeps wanting to shove this thing down our throats. I think it's mm-hmm. a terrible idea. I'm very glad the Democrats found the weirdest way possible to stop fast track authority. I very much would like it if some of them would break the rules and leak the entire thing to the press so we can have an actual discussion about what really is going on with the trade authority in this country, in the Pacific region.
I wish someone would leak the Republican budget and actually read it. I mean, this is the thing, you know, Bernie Sanders said, you won't believe what's in this. Mm-hmm. And you won't believe what's in this TPP thing.
Right.
But keeping it secret and then having a bill that helps workers hurt by it.
Right.
And then coming back and saying, and it benefits everybody.
Yeah.
Wait. Now, look, we're going to have this surgery. It's going to make you feel great. We can't tell you what it is. By the way, here's 15 bottles of antibiotics and medicine you're going to have to take mm-hmm. so you don't die from the surgery.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
But it's going to be good for you.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, I believe in fair trade.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe in fair trade. You know, cities, civilization, et cetera, all are the result of trade. The mixing of cultures is a result of trade. The marketplace, the growth of great cities is a result of trade. I believe in fair trade immensely. I don't believe in letting people in secret cut deals to screw American workers and screw the middle class and being told, trust me.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to trust anybody when it comes to this. I would like to see the details. If it's so awesome, share the details with the rest of us. Explain to us in little words. Do the things that you're really bad at. Put Bill Clinton on the job. Have him explain in little words so that we'll all understand how this is awesome. Because there are really good trade deals to be had out there. There are lots of things that we need from the rest of the world. There's lots of things the rest of the world needs from us. But the idea that we should trust anybody after GATT and NAFTA and after everybody in the 1% lines up on one side of this
mm-hmm.
and all the elected Democrats, virtually all the elected Democrats in the House who've seen the damn thing have lined up on the other side. No. we need to have a much longer conversation about that, and that's terrific. So let's not.
Well, and one of the reasons I personally feel that TPP has gotten so much attention and is so distrusted is that we didn't put any bankers in jail.
Right. Exactly.
We know that corporations want to screw us and we'll get off scot-free. Mm-hmm. There was an article in The Guardian this week about the obscure legal system that lets corporations sue countries.
Yep.
And sue them simply because a deal didn't go through. And it's and deals that, for instance, there was one country that had tried to negotiate a mining deal. And the owners of the property where the mining was going to take place said, no, it's our private property and we're not going to allow the government to take it over. And the sovereignty of the government, this is in Central America, said, okay, we can't go through with this.
Mm-hmm.
The international conglomerate that wanted to mine this area sued the government, the foreign government, and can win and keep tie them up. Let me read this. Canadian company Pacific Rim, later bought by an Australian mining firm, Oceana Gold, had been encouraged by the government of El Salvador to spend tens of millions of dollars to undertake mineral exploration activities. But when the company alleged that deposits of gold and silver were discovered, the government withheld the permits it needed to begin digging because of environmental concerns of the citizens of El Salvador.
Uh-huh. Those goddamn environmental and worker rights, goddammit. They're always getting in the way of good deals.
The company sued for $300 million, which has since been reduced to $284 million as a deal, right?
And time off for good behavior.
That's still more than the total amount of foreign aid El Salvador received from all other countries last year.
Uh-huh.
The El Salvador countered that the company not only lacked environmental permits, but also failed to prove it had obtained rights to much of the land covered by its request. Many farmers where the company wanted to dig had refused to sell their land. Hello?
Yeah, this is ancient.
But these, I want to call them Davos courts,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. The courts are so pro-corporation, and these trade deals are so pro-corporation that, of course, nobody, you know, who can buy the best lawyers? The farmers of El Salvador? It makes you sick.
Yep.
And so these trade deals are often to benefit Western corporations at this over the sovereignty of third world countries.
Mm-hmm.
And enough of that.
Yeah.
So with the fact that no bankers went to jail and we know corporations are doing this, there's going to be distrust.
Yeah.
There's going to be distrust of who does our government work for, really? We know who our government works for.
Well, and
they work for huge corporations.
And you can always tell. I mean, there are going to be job losses.
You've worked in organizations that benefit from retraining money.
I have.
From federal money that goes to retrain displaced workers.
I have. Yeah. And it's a fine program. I used to be a COBOL programmer. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of call for – there's some, but there's not a lot of call for COBOL programmers. Not a lot of mainframe people out there. There's, you know, the buggy whip industry and all that. So there's always displacement. Technology displaces people, communication, breakthroughs, productivity, all kinds of things happen in the marketplace that cause displacement, and that happens. That's fine. But the idea that we're going to cast this argument as a bunch of Luddites who hate progress versus enlightened, progressive, thoughtful capitalists, and those are the only two sides you can be on.
Yeah, that's
That's once the people who are in charge of setting the debate have said it in those terms, you know something's rotten.
Yep.
You know something is they're so desperate to pass this thing. Why? Have we made a pact with aliens that they'll blow the planet up if we don't do this? Why does it have to be right now? Why can't it wait a week or a month or a year?
Maybe we could debate it and discuss it and decide how much power these corporations are going to have over the sovereignty of third world countries.
Maybe we could. And this is really something that I know you want to talk about Hillary Clinton.
For just a minute,
That Bernie Sanders can sink his teeth into.
And
I don't know who's going to win. There's a play called Bleacher Bums out of Chicago. And there's a line in there about, you know, betting with your heart versus betting with your head. Mm-hmm. Cubs fans always go with their heart, and they always lose. I'll continue betting with my heart. I don't care.
In the primary season, I think you have to. Yeah,
As Churchill says, I'm an optimist because I've never found much use in being anything else. But whoever wins long term, I can be very depressed about the long term. It's worth the fight.
Yeah.
And it's worth telling the president of the United States, who I voted for twice and support in a lot of other ways, hell no. Yeah. No, you don't get to do this. And I'm sorry, but when George Will writes an editorial that says it's okay to keep hating Barack Obama, I'll give you a get out of Negro lover card this time around for this one vote. It's okay. You can vote for trade authority and side with the president this one time. I give you permission. Because he's still an awful person.
Paul Ryan did the same thing. Yeah.
And you know, okay, then now something reeks. Now something is really bad. Yeah. And you and I will never know what it is, but it's something.
Because it's a secret deal.
There's a secret deal
which is anti-democratic.
It's supported by the worst people I know and who won't talk about it and who want to make a rule that you can't talk about it until it's too late. That, no. Nope.
I do want to talk about Hillary Clinton because I listened to Hillary Clinton speak on the radio for probably an hour this week. She was in New Hampshire talking with educators and, frankly, talking with women like her, women of her generation and women of her educational class, let's put it that way. And they just loved her, and I'm not surprised. and in her favor, number one, incredibly smart and incredibly versatile in talking about different educational issues. I was really impressed with her ability to take questions and with great aplomb talk about ADHD, talk about funding, talk about state governments, talk about local governments, talk about innovation in education. She didn't, of course, mention charter schools or anything like that.
No.
But she talked about grandmothers raising children and that the proposals that she has to help parents with young children all apply to grandparents who have custody of their grandchildren, because that's the reality of where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem of addiction with young parents who have addiction problems. And she was just very versatile and on her feet, just smart. And I defy you to find a Republican candidate who would be able to be this alert and able to just kind of go policy wonk on education the way she is able to do, because she's been doing this for 50 years,
Go full court for two hours.
Right, full policy. Court for, yeah, and I listened to an hour of it, but she was there for an afternoon, clearly, you know, and able to policy wonk about education with real proposals and addressing the problems. And she had lots to say about stuff in your wheelhouse about training and VOTEC and high schools and partnerships with community colleges and kids coming out of high school with machinist certifications so that they got a job right out of high school, which is, you know, amazing.
Part of me
and good jobs that pay $40,000 a year and have benefits.
Part of
you know,
infuriated by that because
yes, I'm sure because you want a job doing that.
That used to be my job, and now it's not anymore. And it's
because austerity, and that's the thing, you know. I'm not going full bore negative against Hillary Clinton at this point, but the thing that kind of pissed me off was everything that she was saying was couched in the language of partnership.
Sure.
And partnering with corporations and partnering with this.
Mm-hmm.
And partnering with Boys and Girls Club, partnering with churches, and the idea that we never mention government doing anything, you know. And I do not have any doubt in my mind at all about Hillary Clinton's ability to get everyone who is a stakeholder on board in terms of partnering with her on education or jobs or whatever. You know, she will be the master at bringing on board Microsoft and Shell Oil and the Trumps and everybody into a room, because that's what the Clintons do, to fix problems. And maybe that technocrat way of doing things is just the future, and us liberals just need to get over it. But it does bother me that we are at that stage, that that's the Democratic standard bearer who has to say, we're going to partner with, you know, Northrop. I keep saying Northrop Grumman because I'm just mad at them right now. But, you know, these we're going to partner instead of. Here, we're going to have a smart government. Smart government's going to do that. Apparently, you can't sell that anymore.
Yeah, well, you know what? This is where I would advise the Clinton campaign. Let me give some free advice to the Clinton campaign. First of all, I think Hillary will make an excellent Secretary of Education in the Bernie Sanders administration. I think she has everything going for her, and she'll do great at that job. And you know what? In the better universe... you wouldn't laugh at that.
No, well, and you know, it. We need a woman president.
We do. I'm not saying we don't.
I'm going to vote for her because she's a woman, just like it. Just like they.
Larry
Wilmore voted for Barack Obama because he was black. You know,
crazy?
That's
yeah,
I'm
going to
do it.
And I'll vote for her because my wife told me to.
Yes.
Because of feminism.
Funny.
But the. There is a very this is part of the problem of vocabulary.
Yeah, your free advice to the Clinton campaign.
My free advice to the Clinton campaign is, look, back when I had a job and did this stuff way more than full time, we formed partnerships all the time, and they were partnerships where government was prominent, but businesses that we partnered with, we were very clear, are small to medium-sized businesses. These are not international corporations. This is not Shell or Exxon or Northrop Grumman. It was mom-and-pa shops.
Yeah.
Who hates the breaks and the amount of rogering that corporations do to this company? Small business does.
Yeah.
They hate that shit. Now, they hate liberals slightly more, so they tend to vote a little more conservative than they should in their own interest. But frankly, the best partner you're going to find for partnering are the small to medium-sized businesses that have been around for a long time.
That are locally owned.
Owned, that have been around for two generations, that need a community college, desperately need a community college, because that's where their kids are going to go. And or
that's where their employees can go back.
Exactly. That is where their employees are going to go back. That's where they're going to. That's where you're going to have the quickest turnaround. They're going to have – they can talk to the community college board and get the curriculum tweaked to reflect what it is they need to be trained to for their specific business. There's an immense amount of feedback there if you build those partnerships. And you could, and those people are in turn the ones who go to high schools and say, we don't want drones. We don't want people cranked out of here with, you know, that are just robots. But if you want to target a career, here are places where you can train people in high school for a few hours so that they matriculate out of high school and into a college with a certificate in their hand that they can then take into a college or they can take into the workplace, et cetera. You can actually change the conversation about high school and college and even lower than that education by partnering with those small to medium-sized businesses that are that are in lots of trade associations. They're all over the country. That's where most of the jobs get created. Most of the jobs get lost, although you never see it. And you will find them equally contemptuous of Northrop Grumman, because they get all the fucking breaks. Nobody cares about us. They get the breaks. They get the tax cuts. They get all the lawyers in the universe. They
get
everything.
They get the welfare. And they get the government funding.
And so there is a powerful case to be made for public-private partnerships when the private portion of that conversation are those kinds of businesses, in my humble experience. That's free advice to Hillary Clinton. Take it, or you can listen to Mark Penn and lose again, whichever you want to do.
Mark Penn, someone sent one of our listeners just sent me an email about Mark Penn.
He's apparently
leaving Microsoft to go and form a private venture capital thingy. So
sure, he'll do very well. Go with God, Mark Penn.
Yeah.
As the former mayor of Chicago would say, go with God, Mark Penn.
We have to end it there. I know.
I just love talking to you.
I love talking to you, too.
It's a gas talking to you each week. We do have to do one thing, though.
Yeah, we do.
Thank Nicole Sandler.
Yes, you were on the Nicole Sandler show, the Radio or Not show.
I certainly was.
You had a ball. I heard you laughing.
I did. I had a very good time. Unlike this show, they didn't just cut me off in the middle of mid-thought.
Cut.
And she, I listened to her run-up conversation on TPP and TPA and TAA, which was really
smart
and thoughtful and deeply informed. And she was watching the .gov site where bills were being called, votes were being taken, et cetera, while she was on the air. So, you know, this is what the liberal media looks like. You know, this is what
we
the
need to find a link to your interview with her.
Yeah.
I assume she has archives up and we should find that.
And I have it at my site.
You do? Okay.
Do.
So everybody go to driftglass.blogspot.com. You can hear Driftglass talking to Nicole Sandler instead of talking to me.
It's not embedded. I don't think it's embeddable. I didn't find it embedded.
But there's a link.
And it was wonderful, and I really appreciate it. And apparently I did not completely alienate her audience.
Oh, good. So I might, she'll have you back sometime.
She might be having me back. And that'd be delightful. I don't have to take this abuse. I can get this abuse anywhere.
The ladies love you, Drift Class. That's the thing.
I'm interested in one lady, and I'm married to her. So that's
you did.
Yeah.
You did. I'm not jealous. No, Nicole Sandler can borrow you anytime for radio. Absolutely.
Fair enough.
And she's a sweet person. I met her at Netroots Nation.
Yeah.
That time we went, and she was very inclusive and wanted everyone to be part of conversation and. Very kind, nice person. So I heartily approve.
An America veteran, I believe, who caught in the vortex when that went down. So
yeah,
there is a liberal media out there.
Yeah, they just don't get paid.
They don't get paid. They're smart and they do it with their heart on their sleeve, and they lose a lot, and they have to herd kittens, and they do it in small audiences in little rooms across the country. But it's out there.
Yeah.
And eventually we'll win.
Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an Internet Kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's Internet Kitty is not an editorial comment. This week's Internet Kitty's name is Oreo, as in white on the inside. No, this is actually a tuxedo kitty. So they're named after the cookie.
Yes.
And... she likes plastic bags, Driftglass. We know a cat like that, too.
Shockingly, we have...
It's a thing.
It's a thing among cats.
Licking plastic bags is apparently a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Go visit the very sweet Oreo at our Facebook page and website. You can send your Internet Kitty to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions! Letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us by sending us a $5 contribution or more. And you can look at our website, which is professionalleft.blogspot.com, for details on how to do that. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and we appreciate it. We really need it. See our website again, professionalleft.blogspot.com, for details. Both our PayPal and postal address are there. Please rate our show on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, and thank you for doing that.
Thank you very much.
Drift Class, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
You know, Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties are both looking forward to Space Ghost announcing his run for president.
Let's think about living. Let's think about loving. Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-dovey. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under Creative Commons license. Copyright 2015. Driftglass Blue Gal Podcast.
Minecraft is awesome. Now it's time for Science Fiction University with our science fiction expert, Driftglass.
Science Fiction University from our friend Dogfaced Herman. Yay, Dogfaced Herman.
Yay, Dogfaced Herman.
He writes, speaking as someone who is not and never was religious, I would like to thank Bible Bitch for reminding me that religion is not just for the Pat Robertson nut jobs. Bible Bitch and Betty Bowers are my spiritual guidance counselors.
Yes.
You left out Flying Spaghetti Monster. I will be on a Netroots Nation panel with Betty Bowers and the Flying Spaghetti Monster, and I would be proud to do that.
I would cross a desert to see
you
that
would have
panel.
To.
I would. Well, I'd have to. I'd be with you. What am I talking? I'd be sitting up in the room holding your yarn.
Yeah, you would.
I'd be wandering the hall. Actually, I'd be wandering the halls going, do you know who Drift Glass is? You ever heard of him? No, never heard of him. No idea. I hear he's pretty cool. No, he's kind of a jerk. And Obot. No, I never heard of him. Hey,
he's
Sam
an
Cedar.
Obot and a drone glass.
Yeah. As, I would definitely go see a panel of liberal faith-based conversation.
I think. Although I will tell you, I'm much more in the middle of the liberal faith-based conversation than you are.
Yes.
And there's a lot of infighting that goes on among Christian liberals. It's really bad. I mean, it's not really bad, but it's... It's tiresome. And I know you're shocked.
Splitter. You're a splitter is what you are. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, should we evangelize or should we just do social welfare or should we just do this or should we do this? Like, all right, everybody.
Or should we break our eggs at the big end or the little end?
See?
That's what I want to know.
Are you with the People's Republic of Judea or Judea People's Front or the
Progressive
Front
Church of the People's Liberation Front of Judea?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's, no, I can't say I'm highly shocked that
a bunch of people, academic religionists are interested in minutia of their arguments. Yeah,
I have different priorities. No, I don't want, if I may quote Mad Men, I want my juice. Yeah, but they're both great. No, I want my juice, not the best one. I want mine. Because I'm in charge. I get to run the meeting and hold the gavel.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, academic arguments.
Yeah. Yeah, because the stakes are so low.
The stakes are so low. That's right. All right. Speaking of
That, the clips today are about religion.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Some of them are religion in space, and some of them are religion on the Earth in a science fiction motif. But
all right.
There are six of them, and here we go with number one.
All right.
Glory be to the bomb and to the holy fallout as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
I reveal my inmost self unto my God.
Unto my God.
Unto my God.
Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
That's right.
With Victor Buono.
Uh-huh.
And either James Franciscus or Tony Franciosa. I always get those names
mixed up. James Franciscus.
James Franciscus. Okay. All right.
Who would be, if he were still as young and handsome as he was in Beneath the Planet of the Apes, he'd be on Game of Thrones, no doubt about it.
He thoroughly would.
He's a Lannister.
He's a born Lannister.
Born Lannister, absolutely.
He's born to be the king.
He's born to be the Mad King. He'd make a good Mad King.
He'd make an awesome Mad King. You know, a little flashback to the bad old days.
Yep.
The Mad King was running things. If you don't know who this is the guy who they got because they couldn't afford Charlton Heston or he was busy. It's a mediocre movie. It's not that great, but it does
have... it is funny. I mean, the praying to the bomb part, you know.
Yeah, is straight up.
We
get it.
Our bomb, which art in heaven. Yeah. Okay.
And it does sort of catalyze the entire event that causes the cycle to begin by, I won't give it away, but it sort of sends, the only people who escape are simians.
Yeah.
And they end up back on our Earth in present day.
So there you go.
Thus precipitating the cycle all over again.
See?
And if you're looking for this actor, he was in a show called Longstreet, I think. The blind detective, back when every detective had to have a gimmick.
Uh-huh, had to have some sort of disability.
Yeah, something. Yeah.
Because of Ironsides.
Ironsides, and there were just a ton of them. But every detective had to have a thing. Beretta had to have a bird, stuff like that. And he was also on, I think, Naked City.
Oh.
He was in the first season or two of Naked City. He was the detective on that, which is before my time, but I've seen it in reruns, and it's a really good show. Yes. Anyway, that was more than you ever wanted to know about Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
Okay, let's try number two.
You know, I had a feeling. I had a feeling that Neva was actually expected to hear an answer to his prayer.
There wouldn't be much point in praying if he didn't.
I could quote you a few theologians who give you an argument on that. He was listening.
Neva!
We're old Neva, hot line to God.
Psst, don't be afraid. It's only a machine for sending voices over long distances. That may be Zoannan speaking, but it's not God. Gods don't use transceivers.
Are you certain?
Aren't you?
Yes.
That's better.
Oh, that's Tom Baker.
That's Tom Baker.
Therefore, by the law of eliminating everything that couldn't be, it had better be Doctor Who. It better be 1970s Doctor Who. I don't know what the episode.
Face of Evil, it's called, the episode. And this is our Doctor Who.
Yes.
This is our generation's Doctor Who. Not
the Sean Connery of Doctor Who.
Middle child does not get this Doctor Who as much as we do.
Yeah. Well, why would you? It's crappy special effects.
That's true.
He's got jelly babies.
And he's not nearly as cute, although I had a crush on him. Yeah, but,
Big floppy hat.
Let's try number three.
Man's work is God's work. As long as you do it in God's name. Helena was created by man not in his name, but God shone his light down upon her.
You are hereby bound together before God.
Lord, we are asking you as simply as we can, reclaim Helena from eternal damnation.
This is a show that, I'm pretty sure this is Orphan Black.
This is Orphan Black.
Although Orphan Black sort of went away from our
from
house.
Our house. We stopped watching it a few weeks ago.
It was too much effort to figure out what the hell was going on. Really? So, okay. It was Game of Thrones without the special effects or the really good plot. It got really complicated, and you had to know who and what and where and the backstory of something.
Yeah, and all the male relatives and it's not, the acting is still really good.
Yeah, it's fine.
But following the story, I've had a hard time. And at some point, we should have a conversation about shows that went on too long.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. Yeah.
Like Lost.
I tell you what.
Twin Peaks.
Oh, Jesus. I never watched more than two episodes of Twin Peaks.
I watched all the episodes of Twin Peaks, and I was sorely, sorely disappointed in the ending of that show. Yeah.
Well, and Mad Men.
Mad Men ended. It should have ended with the penultimate episode. Yes. It really should, because Sally reading her mother's letter.
Yes.
About the clothing she wants to wear to her own funeral. Here's the dress I've picked out to wear in the casket. Is just a perfect encapsulation of her generation. This is my generation has killed itself with smoking, but we're going to look good in the casket.
We're going to look really good.
We're going to look really great in the casket.
And I kind of finally have figured out that you're your own person.
Yeah, and you're not a bad person. Yeah, you know, that you're I accept you for who you are. Yeah,
And when Don gives up his space capsule. Space capsule,
Yeah, and gives up the car, which is the car is the whole, holy grail of the show is to get a car, a car to advertise. You know, that the agency wants a car, and he gives up the car, and then he's sitting there by the side of the road waiting for the bus, and that's ended there, you know?
And in fact, if anybody wants to email us you're always welcome to email us with science fiction questions, but if you have suggestions for TV series that went on too long.
Yeah, besides Happy Days.
Besides Happy
Days.
You can't do that one. But anything that went on just a little bit too long, they'd had the good sense to shave off, like Huckleberry Finn, lop off the last chapter.
Yeah.
After they return, the return trip, not so much. No. It should have ended a little bit sooner than that.
Yep.
But that's... authors and writers and TV show producers and are people.
Yep.
And they get attached
to their characters. Huh? Yes. Yes.
Well, and Sherlock Holmes. God love him. Conan Doyle tried to kill.
He tried to kill his darling. He really did.
Wouldn't have it.
Yep.
It's really hard when you're making a lot of money and you're very popular and the public demands it to say. This was 5 years, and I'm done.
I have to stop saying both sides. Are you kidding me? My audience loves that. Who's your audience?
Northrop Grumman
is my audience. The gun manufacturers are my audience, and they love it when I say both sides.
They love that shit. All right. So, what's next?
Speaking of shows that have gone on too long, Meet the Press.
Yeah, Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, we didn't mean to cross our streams here with Science Fiction University and our political podcast. Number four is the one we're on.
I didn't like using the main thoroughfares. The ministry clerics were always out in force. You see, you've got to have religion to live in Meanwhile City. It's the law. There are now so many faiths registered in this town that it gets kind of hard to be original. These days, you can form an entire congregation simply based on washing machine instructions.
Always consult the care instructions on the cloth.
I have no idea. I mean,
I've never heard of this movie before today either. This is a movie called Franklin, F-R-A-N-K-L-Y-N.
Okay.
And it's about a masked atheist in a theocratic London, which, as you said, it's
V for Vendetta.
It's V for Vendetta.
I don't know if it is or not. I got no idea.
But it's he's fighting the theocrats to save the world kind of thing. All right, number five.
But I'm positive it won't come to that, since by very definition, a self-ossifist is incapable of murder. Self-ossify teaches how to rid oneself of thoughts concerning others and focus on what is most important, yourself. For example, you're familiar with the films of Bobby Wingood. Bobby used to be an out-of-work actor, high on drugs, beating up paparazzi because they wouldn't take his picture. Then he found self-ossify, learned how to reject rage and anger and focus on more meaningful emotions. Now he's rich and famous and dating high-priced fashion models. In fact, many of Hollywood's elite are self-ossifists, so I ask you, how could a religious order with ties to Hollywood be involved in anything immoral?
Oh. Man, I should really know this. It sounds familiar, but I'm not going to hazard a guess. My batting average is high enough where I'm not going to blow it.
This show is called Millennium.
Oh, yeah.
You know this show? I've never heard of this show.
Yeah, Millennium was the follow-on or spin-off of The X-Files.
Oh, okay.
And a very popular show.
Did it have Smoking Man in it?
I believe it did.
Oh.
It had, there were some really good episodes of it, but it was the, if you can imagine, the darker and more paranoid version of X-Files. And it was maybe too much, or there wasn't enough, I don't know, to go around or whatever. It didn't last very long. But it was sort of hinged on the Y2K problem. As I recall, I might have that completely wrong because it's been, my clock doesn't work since Y2K, so I don't know. My digital watch doesn't work anymore. So it's been a few years, but I was working at the time in a college, and it was very popular among the people who loved X-Files, and I was one of those people, and it just never caught on. But there was such a show, it did exist. And then it went away.
I never watched X-Files. I must have been either too young or too busy or something. I don't know. But I never watched X-Files. And the only reason I know about The Smoking Man is that song by Bare Naked Ladies, One Week, where they say, Watching X-Files with no lights on, where Don LeMay's on, I hope The Smoking Man is on.
Well, and of course, you went on a great Morley hunt and discovered all the places where Morley cigarettes exist.
Yes. Yeah, that was fun.
Uh-huh.
And there's a Wikipedia page for Morley cigarettes. Of course there is.
Of course
and we
there
found
is.
There was one this week. There was one we were watching. I forget which old show we were watching, but someone was smoking Morley cigarettes. I think it was... Now I can't remember. But some... Oh, I do know. No, yes, I do. It was... we were watching Mission Impossible.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I believe you're correct.
He lit a Morley cigarette. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. Last one, number six.
All for more means more for all. If it can be made, it can be used. And if it can be used, it can be made. History is bunk. Half the time equals double the yield. War is bad for business.
Never saw the movie or TV show, whatever this is, but it's obvious. history is bunk. That is from our beloved Ford.
Mm-hmm.
That's Brave New World.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. It's the show. It's the book that you were required to read alongside 1984 and probably forgot because 1984 is so much more sort of dark and
memorable,
quotable. it has, you know, big blocks of text inserted in it that are Orwell explaining what's going on. And it's just a much grimmer story. They're both dystopian, indestructible dystopian future societies where the bad guys have won forever and ever. But 1984 is very much more apocalyptic and ugly, so people remember it more. But this is Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, and a fine book in its own right.
Thank you, Dog-Faced Herman. We sure do appreciate you.
Thank you very much, Dog-Faced Herman.
We appreciate all you do for us. And Raymond also sent us some more science fiction books, including some Fred Pohl that you haven't read yet.
I haven't read those.
Which is really cool.
It's rare. It's like, rare.
Whoa.
Fred Pohl short stories I haven't read yet.
Oh, my God.
Don't tell Fred Pohl, who, the last I checked, you know, I'm going to live to regret this, but last I checked, was still alive and well.
Wow.
And has a blog.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's when you find out, like, Harlan Ellison has a chat room.
Yeah.
And Fred Pohl has a blog. It's like, that is awesome.
Harlan Ellison gave out his home phone number on his chat room one time.
Yes, he did, by mistake.
His wife got real mad at him.
And somebody, yours truly, said, Hello. You don't want to do that. It's not private. It's not a typewriter. You can't wipe that out. And yeah, it was just a mistake. But
and what's his wife's first name again? Helen?
Susan.
Susan.
The wonderful and delightful Susan, who is keeping him alive.
And that's what I heard. Is that Susan is fully responsible for his still breathing.
Yes, still breathing and sane and.
Yeah.
And whatever.
She keeps him grounded. I know somebody like that.
I do too.
We keep one foot in the real world.
Uh-huh.
Just one.
This one. That's all. You know, hey, come back. Come back, drift class. Sorry. The world sucks. No. Here.
You'll be all right.
No, I mean spaghetti. Okay. Youngest child wants to talk to you about her boo-boo. Okay.
Yeah. Can you pick her up and carry her in the house? Sure. All right.
Yeah, okay. I feel
okay. Life has a purpose.
Yes.
She wants to go ice skating tomorrow night.
Good for her.
Uh-huh. Good for her. We'll see who gets to take her.
I have a pocket flask just set aside just for that job.
Just sit by the ice rink and watch her skate with a little flask. That's right.
Sippy. Yeah.
I saw that flask. It's got a little funnel.
It does.
That's adorable.
It is. That was given to me.
It really is. It's got a thimble-sized funnel that came with it.
So you don't spill a drop. You don't want to spill nothing. I will say this. I to my recollection, I have never used that.
Oh, really?
I might have used it once for a joke.
For a joke, yeah.
But it's an etched, a pewter, a pocket flask, a hip flask, whatever you want, a flask. And it was given to me as a housewarming gift, like 9 houses ago.
Wow.
And I am not one who sits in the corner at skating events or any other events.
Your flask.
Sipping from a flask. I do not do that. I'm usually the designated guy, so that I'm like the opposite of that guy. But, you know, apparently at one point in my past, someone thought, you know what? This is something he'll probably use. So everybody has passed.
All right,
baby. I love you.
Thank you very much, Dog-Faced Herman. I love you too, Driftglass. And we'll see you next week with Science Fiction University.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye.